When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TFA fam, what is up? What is happening? We're back again live, a live stream here, but wanted to, with the combine, you know, going on right now, we don't have any of the official results because the players, at least we care about for what we do around here, don't do anything until Saturday. So we thought this would be a good time to kind of come on, maybe do a little pre-combine, kind of see where things stand, talk about some players before the combine happens. And then, you know, next week we'll definitely get into all the results and guys who are, you know, rising and falling up, you know, board and stuff like that. So that being said, let's just hit on, we've had a little bit of news this week, you know, with all the 32 teams there at the combine. We've actually had some news this week. The Chiefs have a couple news and notes, but the Chiefs did release MVS. That saved them $12 million. They also slapped the franchise tag on the Jerry Sneed. But they did already allow him to seek a trade. So it sounds like he is not one that's going to be back with the Kansas City Chiefs after the season or next season. They did say that they would like to keep him, but they've already told him he can go look for a trade. He's gone. And so I think there's some rumors that the Falcons are really interested in him. It didn't bother me. He's 27 years old. He is not a younger prospect, you know, coming off his rookie deal. He was fantastic last year, no doubt, but the Chiefs aren't just going to pay him that kind of money, especially at 27 years old. I don't see that happening. But T. Higgins also expected to get the franchise tag. That one's a little bit more surprising to me. I mean, I guess when you have Joe Burrow, you still want to surround him with many weapons. You can hit him with that franchise tag for one more year. But I do not think they're going to get a long-term deal done with T. Higgins. They're going to have to also pay some other guys. They don't have a ton of cap space, but they also are going to have to worry about Ja'Marr Chase after the season as well, as somebody's going to want a large extension. So, but T. Higgins is expected to get a franchise tag. We haven't heard anything else. I think they have till next Tuesday for all other teams to decide if they're going to use it. I do expect we're going to get more. I think Michael Pittman gets franchise tagged. I would not be shocked if he is another wide receiver that comes off the market. But so far, you know, he is, you know, at least T. Higgins is coming off the market as a wide receiver that people were looking at in free agency. As you remember, free agency is only, what, a week and a half away, too. So that'll be here. DeMarcus Robinson also signed a one-year contract extension with the Rams. And then Zach Wilson was permitted to seek a trade. I'm sure there's going to be a long list of suitors looking to trade for Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you can pick up someone like Zach Wilson, it's probably why we haven't heard a lot of news about it, just because they're just getting inundated with so many trade offers. And just to go back to the Chiefs thing, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because we're here to talk about the combine, but I honestly don't think I've ever heard you be like worried about anything when it comes to the Chiefs, Kev. Like when Tyreek Hill left, you're just like, whatever. The Chiefs offense is going to be better with him leaving. And now Legarius Sneed, who was, you know, a shutdown corner for you, you're just like, whatever. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, I mean, they continue to win, right? I mean, this year, I mean, nobody thought they were going to win the Super Bowl, and here we are. They won it again. And so, I don't know. Like, I think that one of the reasons they've been so good is because they're not going to go out and overpay anybody. They're not going to pay somebody, you know, these huge contracts. It's not going to happen. Either you're going to, you know, bend the knee and, you know, take less to continue to, you know, to win, or you won't. And I thought, like, I found it, like, I don't know if you listened to it, the Pivot, Mecole Hardman was on there. And he kind of talked about like how much it was like eye opening to go to the Jets and like leaving the Kansas City Chiefs and some of the stuff. And I just think that's true. Like you just, you know, you leave that cocoon, if you will, of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and, you know, everything they have going on there. And you go to another team with Nathaniel Hackett, you know, as your offensive coordinator and stuff like that. And it's eye opening. But I mean, the Chiefs have just proven that, you know, you have 15, you have Andy Reid, you're just going to keep winning. So Yeah.
Say Miko Hardman did get put in his place by punter.
Yeah, Thomas Morstead. Yeah.
It's like what's happening here? What is happening right now?
Yeah. So anyways, I mean it's good times. That being said, let's get into some of this, what we came here for. People want, probably want to talk about that here that people don't want to hear about, you know, off-season news that doesn't really matter right now, at least for the next couple of weeks. We'll see what happens with this. But first things first, I think let's start at the quarterback position. Now, we have to say that, you know, the top three quarterbacks are doing absolutely nothing at the combine. Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams have all opted out. I mean, even Caleb Williams said, well, I'm not even doing your medicals, all right? You can get out of town with that. So they're all going to, most of them are going to opt to do their pro day. I actually think this is a huge combine for, like, I teeter back and forth, right? Because on one hand, I think we're going to continue to see this, like, where, like, the top names are going to, like, no, I'm not doing it. They can't do anything to help themselves at the combine. Like, Caleb Williams can do absolutely nothing to help himself. Neither can Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers. Like, none of these guys who are the elite, you know, prospects in this can only really hurt themselves, if anything. I don't mind it. I feel like this is more for the players who have a lot more questions, you know, the non-elite, tier players than it is anything. But at least I did want to ask you this. So let's say you're the Bears GM. Are you trading Justin Fields or are you keeping him and trading down to get more draft capital?
Trading Fields and I'm taking Caleb Williams. I still think there are, still go a little bit back and forth with this because Justin Fields obviously looked better this year considering he had at least one legitimate weapon to throw to, DJ Moore. DJ Moore obviously had a big year, but there's still a bunch of questions that remain around Justin Fields and how good of a passer he is. So I feel like if you have this opportunity to take Caleb Williams, that's what you do. You trade Fields, you get a second. Potentially a team like the Falcons might be in on him. And then you just continue to stockpile. You can get another draft ammo that way, obviously. But that's what I'm doing. I'm trading Fields, and then I'm taking Caleb Williams. And then the best part about it is if you're not sold on Caleb Williams, that number one pick is you can sell that for you name the price. So even if you just want to bounce down to two, with Washington, I think you can get a hefty penny just moving down one spot. So they do have a bunch of options, but I think it's trade Fields and then draft one of these quarterbacks.
I'm just not completely sold on Caleb Williams, I guess. Like, there's still all the he's the next Patrick Mahomes and all this stuff, but I still have questions. Now, I will say there's obviously question marks with Justin Fields, right? And Justin Fields, the one advantage you do get with moving off Justin Fields and drafting Caleb Williams is you restart the rookie contract clock, right? And so you get all that, all that extra time, and you're still not paying anybody. This is a team that still has a lot of holes, on both sides of the ball. And so, and they still have, the ninth pick as well. So with that, you potentially could take Caleb Williams. You could also have some extra draft capital where you could possibly move up. Maybe if you want to go get Malik Nabers or Roma Dunzie, like whoever you want there, you have that option to pair him with DJ Moore. And maybe, overall you still have a better offense if you're going to do that. But I still, wouldn't hate if they kept Justin Fields and traded the pick and get the war chest of picks that they would get from it. Draft Marvin Harrison with whatever that pick is or Malik Nabers and then, figure it out from there. But I get it. Like, it is a tough question because, the Bears have not been one that have been great at drafting and evaluating quarterback talent. It wasn't that long ago where they drafted Mr. Trubisky over, Patrick Mahomes and at the time, Deshaun Watson. And, that didn't really work out. And so, this is one where if they were to trade that pick, Caleb Williams turns out to be, an elite prospect, an elite quarterback, you'd be kicking yourself for keeping Justin Fields. So I get it. And maybe it's a smart move, but I still would probably lean towards keeping Justin Fields and continually build around him. But I get it. I get the argument there with him. But let's move on from that one. And so which quarterback of the quarterbacks that are actually going to be there are you most excited to look at? Kind of, is it J.J. McCarthy, who feels like he's kind of become the you know, the hot, you know, topic guy where everybody's starting to get excited about him. It sounds like he's probably going to be a guy who's going to run a lot faster than people think, and maybe a player who runs a 4.6, something like that at quarterback. Is he your quarterback four in this class, or where do you have those, you know, him right now?
Yeah, I'll be honest. When it comes to the quarterbacks in the combine, like, I just don't really care. Like, there's not a ton that's going to happen at the combine that's going to, like, really change or sway my opinion for a lot of these guys. You know, we don't have an Anthony Richardson type prospect where he's going to come in and just absolutely demolish everything. But this does seem like that this is just setting up with those top three quarterbacks not being there. The buzz around J.J. McCarthy, this is just setting up as something that could potentially vault him into the top three ahead of one of those guys, whoever ends up being. Kind of seems like Drake May is falling a little bit. Jaden Daniels still has some question marks around him. So this could vault J.J. McCarthy up. So not anyone that I'm necessarily like excited to see or someone who, you know, I can't wait. You know, it is interesting to see how they do with all these new receivers and some of the throwing drills and things like that. But there's just not a ton I'm taking away from the combine when it comes to quarterbacks and like really changing my opinion on anyone. The other thing I'm kind of just like keeping an ear out for is what happens with the medicals with Michael Penix. Obviously, he's someone who has suffered a bunch of injuries in his career. So just seeing if, you know, what comes out of that, if anything negative or positive comes surrounding him, you know, especially for dynasty purposes, just to see, you know, what kind of medicals are popping up, or if teams have any reservations about how he is. You know, can someone like Spencer Rattler carry the momentum that he was building up from the Senior Bowl? Kind of seemed like he was someone that was getting buzz, but there's not anyone here that like I'm like dying to see out of the quarterbacks. I mean, I guess to kind of see what happens with Bo Nix, to kind of see, you know, which one of these guys is going to take over that five spot, because like you said, J.J. McCarthy seems like he is solidified as QB4, if not higher. And I think that's something we could definitely see after the combine with some of these guys not doing much.
Yeah, there's a lot of arguments with J.J. McCarthy about like the lack of production. But I would also say that, like, what was the insane stat? Like, I think it was like 8 of the 13 games this year that J.J. McCarthy didn't play, because that's how much of a lead they had. He wasn't even, so he basically played almost every game with only 3 quarters. So, so that has led to some of, you know, him not having as much production, and obviously having the elite defense that Michigan had that really didn't need it in the ground game, pro style offense. So maybe, you know, there's a lot of indication that maybe there's a lot more there than what people are expecting, because he just didn't really have the production to back up, you know, some of this. But there's been a lot of positive buzz about him, and I think he's kind of the guy heading into this weekend that can show a lot. Maybe Bo Nix, can he rehab himself after a really pretty poor Senior Bowl showing, at least depending on who you ask. Some people said, you know, will say that Bo Nix had a really good Senior Bowl. Others say he did not. So I think he's another one that you could look at. But let's move off the quarterbacks. Like I said, like, there's not a lot I think you can take away from this, unless you're going to have somebody like Anthony Richardson last year, who just kind of stole the show. That was more so because of how much of an athletic freak he was, and more than anything else. So let's move over to running back. And this is a who's who, right? Because you're obviously not going to get Jonathan Brooks, because Jonathan Brooks is dealing with the torn ACL that he suffered later in the year. So he's obviously not going to be the guy. And so who is your RB1 right now? Just, of how things stand.
I'm putting Jonathan Brooks at RB1. I think he's probably like the most complete guy that I think I have like the fewest questions about. I think because we don't have like a stud, like a true number one in this class, I think a lot of people are like downplaying it. But I think there's going to end up being a bunch of guys that are going to be fantasy relevant, you know, at least a handful of them. So because of that, I think, you know, especially in super flex leagues, like round 2 picks are going to be really interesting to start picking up, because I don't think we get a single running back going in the first. That's going to be tight ends. That's going to be wide receivers, and obviously the 4 quarterbacks. But I think in the second round, there's going to be some value to be had, and, you know, potentially even the third round. But like Jonathan Brooks right now would be my RB1. Obviously with him, like you said, the ACL the thing would keep out again medicals to make sure there's that he's healing correctly, that everything is on schedule for him, that there was no other damage, nothing else pops up for him for him. But I do think there are a bunch of like intriguing guys to pay attention to. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. Apparently there's word going around that he could potentially be in the running for one of the fastest 40s overall, not only among the running backs in this class. So someone like him, Trey Benson, if you're looking for someone who's a little one of the bigger running backs in this class, he should have a solid 40 time. Audric Estime out of Notre Dame, same thing with him. He's even bigger. I think if he could put together a solid combine, he's someone who could jump up both NFL draft boards and dynasty draft boards. I'm really interested to see Bucky Irving, what he ends up coming in at. I'm going to be really surprised if he comes in at the 5'10", 195 that he was listed at Oregon. He looks small out there, man. And I'm interested to see his athletic testing as well, just because like, I think he's probably closer to like Devin Singletary in terms of like one of these smaller backs. I don't think he's going to test as bad as Singletary did whenever he was at the combine, but I think he's closer to Singletary than he is to like a Keaton Mitchell or a Devon Achane, obviously, you know what I mean? So kind of seeing where he comes in. Marshawn Lloyd, I think could jump up and, you know, kind of push for that RB1 spot as well. But what about you, Kev? Anyone that's standing out to you, anyone that you're going to be paying attention to?
I do think, like you said, Jonathan Brooks, I think, is the best running back in this class. But other than that, I agree. I really want to check out Jalen Wright. I think that Bucky Irving is somebody that I'm also have a lot of interest in. And I'm not as concerned, I guess, right now with whatever his size, unless it's like something drastic where he's 5'7", 160 pounds or something like that, then you could probably take him out. But, you know, as long as he comes in at, somewhere in the range of, you know, a 5'8", 190 pounds, I think it's fine. We've seen, you know, more teams sort to switch and not have as much of an issue, even like a Kyren Williams, right? Kyren Williams is a fantastic pass catcher coming out of Notre Dame. We had a lot of questions about his size, and, you know, obviously the Rams didn't because, you know, they made him a feature back this year. And so it feels like we're starting to see a little bit of a shift where you don't have to be the 6'1", 220 pound running back anymore for NFL teams. And especially with so many,
committees.
Committees. There you go. Like hard Boom. Word. So many committees out there. But the thing I think is I find the most interesting about this class is that we have so many damn openings at running back. Like so many teams need a running back this year. And yes, some of them will be backfilled.
So many free agents too.
We'll be backfilled by, you know, some of these free agents like Saquon. Austin Eckler will probably find a home somewhere. Josh Jacobs. So there's some of these guys that are going to fill. Like even, Alexander Mattison was released today. Shocking, I know, that he was released after a poor showing. But, like, some of these guys are going to land in really premium spots where I think that's what's really going to jump them up. Like, right now, I don't think there's a lot of groundswell of excitement for these players because there isn't a Jahmyr Gibbs. There isn't a, you know, Bijan Robinson in this class. But I think landing spot is as much as, you know, there's going to be much more when it comes to the landing spot of these guys, because if somebody lands like with the Chargers and they don't go out and do anything crazy, this is going to be a player that really jumps up and maybe even turns into a late round, first round, rookie pick or something like that because of, how good of a landing spot is. Because as we know, opportunity is the most important thing in fantasy football. And so, you know, if one of these guys lands at a really good spot, then I mean, that's all you can really do. Like, I agree. This on the surface, like this running back class isn't anything to be super, super excited about. But, you know, with so many opportunities and so many openings and so many teams needing running backs, I think, you know, a couple of these guys are probably going to end up moving up from, you know, where they're at right now. Because I do think there is some definite interesting plays or guys here that we should definitely be keeping an eye on, even though a lot of people just like want to pass on the running backs and not even talk about them.
Yeah, I think just two more names to throw out, Kev. I can't believe you didn't mention him, Cody Schrader. Excited to see, you know, what he can do athletically, because I think at times on, you know, some of the games I was watching of him, he definitely has that burst. I'm not sure if he has like that second gear, so to speak, but I think he has enough athleticism. So kind of curious to see how he tests. And then Ray Davis from Kentucky as well. I think he's one of these other guys who, you know, is not stellar whenever you watch him, but I think he's really solid at everything. So I think if he has, you know, a decent athletic profile, which could help push him up in the draft, because the main thing is draft capital, right? Like, that's the main thing we should be paying attention to. I really don't put a ton of stock in the combine, as much as I love it, as much as I love watching it, talking about it. I'm not going to like go out and completely change my thoughts on someone because they run fast in underwear. You know what I mean? But what this is going to do is it does affect how teams view these guys and move them up their draft boards, and draft capital affects a lot. So I think Ray Davis is someone who, like I said, if he can have a decent showing, he could move up some boards.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move over to wide receivers. I think there's a lot more to talk about here. And then
studs. Yeah,
the running backs.
Studs.
We've already said that Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers aren't really going to be doing anything here. So we're not really going to see anything from them. I mean, Marvin Harrison's not even doing his pro day. You have a Malik Nabers right away for his pro day. So, you know, that is something. But I assume that for you, we haven't even talked about this, that Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers are your 1 and 2, right? I mean, there's no controversy there. Do you have anybody ahead of them?
No, I mean, I do think there is a discussion for Romo Dunze, but it's Harrison and Nabers. I kind of keep flip-flopping on them, but those are definitely the two at the top.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think that it's crazy to say that there's a conversation to be had with Malik Nabers as the number one. I mean, I think these guys are elite. I think both of them are very, very good. And so, I think Marvin Harrison, it's like, okay, we're just going to forget about it. He's the number one. Let's move on. But I do think there's a conversation. But regardless, both of them are elite wide receivers. I think Adunzi is right there with them as well. I think all three of these guys are fantastic. So, for me, the real conversation starts after these guys, because I feel like once you get past those three, for pretty much anywhere you look, anybody you talk to, any podcast you listen to, whatever, everybody's going to be different for whatever they like after. So I think it's those three, unless you're trying to be hot, and then it kind of goes from there. So I can tell you, for me, somebody that I'm really excited to watch and see in this is going to be Troy Franklin. I think that from Oregon, I really liked some of the stuff that I saw from him. I really want to see kind of what his size comes out to be. I'm not sure. I think, you know, he's listed at 6'3", 180 pounds. I don't know if that's exactly where he's going to come in. I think he probably comes in more at 6'1". But athletic testing, I think he should be definitely somebody that can blaze here and really help himself. I think, you know, kind of maybe like a Chris Olave type player from Troy Franklin. I definitely think he has a shot at being a first-round pick, maybe back half of the first type pick. I don't think he's going to be like a top 20. But, you know, Troy Franklin is somebody that I'm really excited about here.
Yeah, man, it kind of comes down to, like, whatever flavor you want. Like, there are a bunch of really, really good wide receivers in this class. And there's a bunch of different types of wide receivers, too, that are also really good. So, you know, if you're talking about the Blazers, you can also talk about Brian Thomas. You can talk about Xavier Worthy. You can talk about some of those guys. Then you have some of your big guys, Adonai Mitchell, Keon Coleman, you know, even like an Xavier Leggett. So I think a lot of these guys are also going to test well. Jermaine Burton is going to be up there. You know, then if you want to go kind of like your slot guys, Ladd McConkey, Roman Wilson. So like there really is, it's kind of like a pick your poison, like whatever kind of wide receiver you like there is something for you in this draft class. So I think this is definitely going to be the one that can kind of start to create, I guess, like tiebreakers for some of us. I think, you know, Keon Coleman is someone who, you know, started off the year really hot, and then it kind of seemed like at the end of the year, like everyone was just dumping on this dude. I'm not in that camp. You know, obviously his style, like that X jump ball type of receiver, has kind of been phased out of the NFL. But I still think that there's going to be a place for that dude. So I'm curious to see like how he tests somebody like Xavier Leggett. He's kind of in like that DK Metcalf type of mold where he, like, I think right now on Prize Picks, and like, obviously that's not the best example because Prize Picks has gotten absolutely smacked around on 40 times. Kev, we were talking about it beforehand, but they had Chop Robinson, the DN from Penn State, listed at a 4.61 to open up, and he ran the fastest 40 time among all the DNs at a sub 4.5 today. So this isn't like Prize Picks should not be taken like as the gospel for expected 40 times, but Xavier Leggett was listed as a 4.32, and he's, you know, 6'3", 220, 230 pounds. Like this dude, you know, the thing everyone likes to kind of put down on him is the fact that he literally did nothing his career at South Carolina until this fifth year where he just absolutely blew up. But I think, you know, you can look and like make some excuses for that. Like the dude did play quarterback in high school. He was kind of drafted as like he was recruited as more of an athlete than he was like at any particular position. So like you can like kind of give him a couple excuses as to why like he wasn't doing much in his first few years. And obviously before Spencer Rattler got there, it's not like that was an offense that anyone was excited about. So I think like for me, Xavier Leggett is someone that I'm excited to see and kind of hope that we get some of like the meeting type stuff coming out about him and kind of get a feel for how NFL teams are viewing him. Then even like some of the other Washington receivers, everyone obviously loves to talk about Rome Odunze, but Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan are two guys that that I'm also interested in. And then you can just keep going down the list, man. There are, like I said, ton of really good wide receivers. There's bound to be someone who kind of like sneaks in as a, you know, third, fourth round dynasty rookie pick that no one's talking about that's going to end up making a bunch of noise. Was there anyone else that like I didn't really touch on? Or I guess there is another one, but I'll let you go first and see if you don't mention them.
That seemed to be the like quick rises, like very much in the vein of Jaden Reed last year, because Jaden Reed really started to gain buzz, you know, through this time and continued to rise. You know, there started to be more and more people talking about him that, hey, look out for this guy. He could end up being a high second round pick. A lot of people are starting to fall in love with him. I feel like that's Roman Wilson and Ricky Parasol this year. Both of those guys have done a really good job of especially in the Senior Bowl, both of them had really good showings there. And I think they can carry that over here. Roman Wilson, I think, could end up being that guy that goes in the second round and goes much higher than people expect. But I think both of those dudes, are two guys I want to look at. Like, Keon Coleman's been wild, Nick. I remember watching the game beginning of the year. I think I even messaged you, whatever, and was like, man, this dude's a baller. Like, this dude just looks really good. Like, yeah. Like he looked like that, like, you know, that alpha type wide receiver. And then he, like you said, he just kind of fell off a planet and it was not very good down the stretch. There's a lot of question marks with his game. There's a lot of people that are very, very, very low on Keon Coleman. And it's kind of wild, you know, with him that, he really fell off. I'm almost surprised he didn't go back for another year there at Florida State. I mean, with him only being a junior, but, you know, especially with as loaded as this class is. So he's something that really, I think, needs to show himself well this weekend, because if he falters, he could end up really falling down. Javon Baker is also another a player I think you could talk about as somebody I would like to see a little bit from this weekend. But, I mean, this wide receiver class is just so damn loaded.
Yeah, the only other one that I want to throw out was Malachi Corley. I'm just kind of curious to see what he does. He's someone who is really interesting, you know, especially if you're looking at kind of where his production came from. I think like 40-something percent of his career targets at Western Kentucky were at or behind the line of scrimmage. Just absolutely wild that like that's how he was used. But I think for someone like him, that's more of a case of like he wasn't asked to do more. I definitely, I'm not here for the Debo comps with Malachi Corley. That I don't get at all. But I do still think that he could be a really interesting kind of like chess piece. And I could see him used kind of how Jaden Reed was used this year at Green Bay. But Corley would be the other guy.
Is there any other wide receivers you want to talk about?
I don't think so, man. I think that's, for me, that's kind of it. At least we are going to get some home cooking numbers for Neighbors. He is going to do stuff at his pro day. But like you said, Marvin Harrison is just like, I don't have to do anything. And really, he doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, what's the point of him going out and even doing – because if he gets like a bad pro day time for whatever reason – then, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what the rookie scale is for in terms of like, if he were to go from, you know, a top five pick to like a top 10 pick, I don't know like how much money he would potentially lose out on that, but there's really no reason for Marvin Harrison to do anything. So I get it, man.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like the risk is not worth the reward. I guess Ladd McConkey would be the other one, just to kind of see what kind of juice he has.
Yeah. And we're not, like I said, like we're not really trying to go super deep with these guys. Like, as soon as this is over, because that was kind of my plan. I didn't want to, because what a lot of people end up doing is they get all these preconceived notions, and all of a sudden the combine happens, and people for whatever reason decide to really double count things for one way or the other. Like, if we know the guy's fast, the guy runs fast, people seem to, you know, double count that. Or if we don't think a player is going to do that, and when they don't do it, we also, you know, double count that as well. So as soon as this is over, you know, we'll start to have like our top five, top 10 on the, you know, on the position and stuff like that. And that's when we'll start to get more into the stuff. You know, years past, we jumped on it super early, and it felt by like early April, we're just like ready for it to be over. And so I'm kind of, we were talking about excited that we're going to be much more refreshing to not have to do that, because usually we've already put out like top five, top 10 for all the positions and everything else. And now I feel like we're, you know, this is much more fresh and everything else. So tight end, Brock Bowers, right? Like, generational talent, you know, the all the cliches that we have to say about every player. But yes, Brock Bowers, you know, actually Brock Bowers and the tight ends will be doing stuff tomorrow on Friday. So, you know, it is quarterback, running back, and wide receivers on Saturday. So tomorrow, the one thing that I really just want to see with Brock Bowers, and it's not a huge deal, is I do want to see where he comes in height, weight. Like, I just want to see, because when I saw the stuff like him standing next to Gronk, I was like, there's a difference there. Like, you know, like, and so I'm like, how big is he? Like, is he 6'3"? Because if he comes in and he's like 6'3", 235, that's a problem. Like, and the reason it would be a problem is because he's not going to be an every down tight end. And if that's the case, right? So, like, you're not going to be asking him to go out there and be a blocking tight end or anything like that if that's his size. And so it'll ding him a tiny bit. Not like I'm saying that he's going to be terrible. But I do want to see where he comes in. But I am really excited about Jatavion Sanders, too. Like, I think that he gets some buzz, but he does not get the buzz that Brock Bowers gets. And he is somebody that I'm really excited about as well.
Yeah, I think Sanders is closer to tight end one than he is tight end three. Yeah, like I think that like he is closer to Brock Bowers. Like if we were like tiering these tight ends out, he's closer to Bowers than he is whoever your tight end three might end up being. I have not fully dove into the tight ends yet, so I don't have like really strong opinions on any of these guys just yet. I do think the athleticism testing for the tight ends does for me make a difference. Like this is something where I'm not necessarily going to go and like change my opinion, but if there's like someone that like pops out in a, you know, in a positive way, I will go back. Like maybe I haven't gotten eyes on yet. Somebody like a George Kittle, great testing numbers, still went late in the NFL draft. He was an afterthought in dynasty drafts. So like guys like that, you know, you can really start to pay attention to. And especially if you have like a taxi squad where you can kind of just like, you know, put them there and let them sit. Because obviously with, you know, tight ends, like you're learning almost two positions at the same time, right? Like you have to know your routes and route concepts and all that, but you also have to be able to block for the most part. Not that like we really care about that for fantasy purposes, but like that is something that goes into it and why we see, you know, a lot of tight ends not really break out in their rookie year, except for what, 12 guys this year. But I mean, I think, some like obviously a little biased here, but somebody like Theo Johnson, I expect him to test well. I don't think that like really any of the tight ends that Penn State has had the past couple of years have really been able to show what they can do because our passing offense has been so anemic. But he's someone who I expect to have a good showing and might start to get some buzz following this. He was also somebody who had himself a strong Senior Bowl. So if he can kind of start to build that momentum, I think he can start to move up some draft boards and dynasty boards. Cade Stover out of Ohio State is someone who I think is going to get some looks. There's another Iowa tight end coming out. They're just an absolute factory over there. Whenever we had Debro on, he was talking about Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. So there's definitely some guys to pay attention to. And then Josh is saying in the chat, Jaheim Bell is someone who is really interesting as well. So there's definitely going to be some guys here to pay attention to. But for dynasty purposes, we cannot let this year like affect how we think about these tight ends going forward. Like this is an absolute a year that is unlikely to be replicated. So I think we just all need to keep that in mind that we're not going to have, you know, Sam Laporta's and Dalton Kincaid's, Luke Musgrave's, Tucker Kraft's coming out every single year. So let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, the sad thing is the Kyle Pitts still hasn't, you know. I mean, I guess we say that though about Kyle Pitts, but I mean his rookie year was phenomenal. Like at least in terms of yardage numbers and stuff like that. Like if they could just get a quarterback at Atlanta, like I think they're all set to take off. Like Drake London, I think is such like I know we're not talking about like a buy low for dynasty, but man, he's somebody that I would definitely be trying to buy because if they could go out and get a quarterback. I think that offense is going to be phenomenal. I mean, with Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Bijan, that's all they need is a damn quarterback. You get a quarterback in there and that offense, and they're the best team in the division, I think, next year if they can get a quarterback. That's really all they're missing. And so, yeah. But in terms of the tight ends, yeah, last year was crazy. In terms of, I mean, Sam Laporta was, I mean, phenomenal all year. I mean, arguably the best tight ends. And then, you know, even like second year tight end Trey McBride from Arizona. I mean, he broke out a big way too. So yeah, I mean the tight end position maybe he's in a good spot finally. You know, like it feels like it's been forever. Every year we try to hype up these guys every year. We get all excited about them and then they just completely do nothing. And so maybe we're finally getting some real some real talent here because I do think Brock Bowers is phenomenal. Like if you watch, I mean, the stuff he does after the catch, he moves like a wide receiver. He does not look like, you know, a lumbering tight end or anything like that. I think his best comparable, I think, is George Kittle, which makes sense with the way that he moves and stuff like that. And so, like, I mean, I'm not saying like what I was saying that, you know, about his size. I don't think that kills him or anything like that, I still think that he is in that tier of upper echelon elite. I guess I'm just tired of hearing people say that these, like, every year there's three or four players that are generational. Like, can we come up with a different word? Like, just a different word instead of calling every player that's, like, we think is elite generational. You know, like, generational means they only come around every so often, right? Like, we were saying this with Brock Bowers. Like, everybody was just saying this with Kyle Pitts a couple of years ago, you know, that he was generational.
Caleb Williams.
You know, Caleb Williams. Like, we just do this way too much. Like, it's just need a different word to describe these guys. Because I think Brock Bowers is probably going to be, you know, a top five tight end in the league. And I think, you know, Jatavion Sanders has that range within his outcomes too. He just doesn't get the hype that Brock Bowers does at the position. But because, you know, really, we usually don't spend a lot of time talking about tight ends because they take so long to break out. Like, generally speaking, when you talk about tight ends, usually it's a 3 or 4 year process before, you know, they really start to hit. And it started to change a little bit. We're starting to see a little bit more and more where teams are starting to go to these guys a lot sooner. And, you know, they're utilizing them more in the passing game than we've ever seen. Because a lot of times, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they ask them to block and stuff like that. Well, now the teams are starting to find different ways to get them involved and not necessarily ask them to bust to be like an inline blocker or anything like that, and where you can just go out and be like a move tight end.
Yeah, that's why, you know, whenever we hear about, like, you know, can tight ends block for fantasy purposes, like, we obviously don't care about that. We don't get points for blocking. But for NFL teams, when it comes to blocking, it is a big deal, right? Like, whereas with running backs and pass protection, like, it don't necessarily matter. That one doesn't necessarily matter to me as much as the ability or at least willingness to block. Like, I don't think as a tight end you can be a zero as a blocker. Like, I think you at least have to be able to, like, show, like, the willingness and, like, competitiveness to stick your nose in there. But
you just have to be a functional blocker, right? Like, so yeah. You have guys like George Kittle, who's phenomenal. Like, it's just a phenomenal all-around tight end. Like, he is probably the best blocking tight end in the league. And it sometimes hurts him because they end up leaving him into block instead of having him go out and run as many routes, especially when everybody's healthy. But, like, Travis Kelce is not a great blocker. Like, he is a functional blocker. He has never been that in his entire career. It's kind of always been, like, his knock against him is that, like, he's not great at that. But he is more of just a straight-out receiving tight end. And so just things have changed a little bit. And, yes, Pitts was hurt last year. Yes, we actually heard that, if you remember, all the way back in, like, June, July. Stephania Bell was on a podcast. I think it was on the ETR or something like that. And I believe, and that's when they talked about it and said that she did not think that he was right. He was not healthy whatsoever. There should be a lot of alarms going off for people with him he's not, you know, this wasn't going to be a great year. And that's kind of what happened. Like, I also think the quarterback position just played a big role in it, right? I mean, the quarterbacks were just god awful, and they've been god awful there for the Falcons. And I know, Josh, you say you're a Falcons. Falcons are your team. I would be super frustrated if I was Falcons with them investing so much in the positional groups of this team, and they have so much talent, and they're just refusing to go get a quarterback. But hey, at least you dodged the bullet of Deshaun Watson. That, you know, you guys were in that to the end of getting Deshaun Watson. It sounds like, you know, that was a real bullet you guys dodged on that one. So maybe it's not as bad.
And, you know, getting rid of Arthur Smith is basically addition by subtraction, right?
Yeah, now sadly he is a Pittsburgh Steeler. God. So there's that.
Kev, if you remember whenever we had the show with Debro, I just want to put this out there since it wasn't recorded. But before the show we did, when we were talking about what the Steelers are going to do at quarterback, I said the Steelers are going to be like in the running, in the rumbling for these guys, and they weren't going to do anything. Now it looks like, you know, they were the favorites for Justin Fields for a while. Now it looks like that's Atlanta, and I don't think they get Russell Wilson either. It's going to happen, and it's going to be another year of Kenny Pickett and fucking Mason Rudolph with Arthur Smith.
Well, at least for your sake, then I guess Arthur Smith won't be long for the job, and he'll be gone. So, I don't know. I think the Broncos end up cutting Russell Wilson. I mean, I don't think they have any other choice. No team is going to trade for that contract. No team, unless the Broncos are going to eat a large chunk of it, which is going to be tough for the Broncos. It's going to be tough there. But I think Russell Wilson ends up getting cut. Like, I still think Russell Wilson is like a decent quarterback. He's not great. Like, he's not what he used to be at all. I don't think, but I still think that, like, it's kind of crazy. Like, cause what he threw, like, what was it, like 26? I mean, it wasn't a bad year last year for Russell Wilson in terms of just the raw numbers for them. And let's be honest, there's doesn't take a lot to get an upgrade over what the Steelers have had there at quarterback. It's been, you know, since Big Ben, I guess, you know, it's been kind of rough with all the different experiences. And then, you know, Kenny Pickett and all the drama that came out at the end of last year, something about, you know, stuff that happened there. So I don't know. It's frustrating if you're a Steelers fan. Cause I mean, Steelers are like, you know, like, you know, one of the, you know, one of the, they're like the Pat, you know, the Packers, like one of like the great traditional, you know, teams in the NFL. And they just haven't really been the same. They've been great on defense, but their offense has just been a train wreck.
Yep. It's the way the cookie crumbles. I just hope it all blows up in their face and then they can finally move on and make the changes they need to.
It feels very much like as a, when I was as a Chiefs fan, like it's hard now to like first people, like I get mad all the time. Like when Bryson complains anything about the Chiefs, I'm like, shut the fuck up. You don't know anything about struggle. Okay. Like he's, you know, you've been a fan for like truly a fan, like as a kid, he turns 13 in May. And it's like, I'm like, dude, like you've really been a fan for like 6 or 7 years. Okay. Like it has been phenomenal for you as a Chiefs fan. Okay.
Yeah.
Like you don't know nothing about like the years of the, you know, 2 and 14s and the retread quarterback after retread quarterback after retread quarterback. They would never draft a quarterback before they drafted Patrick Mahomes. They didn't take a quarterback at the first round. You have to go back to like 83 the last time they did it. Like it was super frustrating. Every year you would get these false hopes, even when it was like Alex Smith of like, oh man, you know, this team's good enough. No, they're not. They're not good enough. They're not good. Even if they make the playoffs, they're going to get knocked out in the first round because they have no quarterback. And that's how it always was until they got Patrick Mahomes. And so, like, I get it. Like, I like, you know, obviously I'm spoiled now with, you know, the Chiefs and, you know, everything they've done. But, like, I remember all that. And it's, like, the most frustrating thing watching a team over and over, like, continually just do dumb things and just, like, bring in another really bad quarterback that's not going to do anything for them instead of investing and really trying to – that's been like the big Achilles heel for the Steelers has been they're always good enough to like not get a high draft pick. Like they're never drafting in the top 10. They're always drafting in the back half because they're good enough, just barely, you know, either make the playoffs or they just miss. And they don't do anything to address the position. Like last year, they took Kenny Pickett. I think we all knew that last year's quarterback class, or 2 years ago, I guess, was terrible. Like that was such a terrible quarterback class. And, you know, and the Steelers went and took Kenny Pickett. And it's been a waste. And here we are 2 years later, and they still need one.
Yep. I still stand by the fact that if Kenny Pickett was not at Pitt, the Steelers don't take him.
Probably not. But, you know, it's – I guess when you've had Big Ben for all these years and, you know, whatever you think of Big Ben, I mean, he's still, you know, won a couple of Super Bowls with them and everything else. And but I don't know. Like, they have talent. They're defensively, they're great, right? And they have a great coach. Like, Mike Tomlin's one of the best coaches in the league. It's just they just haven't been willing to go out and try to really invest and find whoever the quarterbacks are. Yeah, I saw that. They got ranked 32nd. They were really bad last year, too. Like, I don't know what's going on with Clark Hunt. There's been a lot of talk. Like, he's very cheap. And, like, they basically were told him last year that after this call came out last year that they were going to upgrade. It's not the – they talk about the locker room. It's not the Arrowhead locker room. It's actually the practice field locker room that I guess hasn't been updated in 20 years. And you look at it, it really looks like a cheap high school locker room of what they have over there. And I guess one of their complaints was I guess they had stools. And so they got him chairs, and that's all they did for him to upgrade. Like, that was it. But it's crazy because Clark Hunt is like top two or top three of the most richest owners in the league. He's worth $15 billion. And you would think after winning back-to-back Super Bowls that he would do something. And they actually, which is fucked up because they, because he actually just had a press conference yesterday because they unveiled their plans for the $800 million renovation that they want to do here at Arrowhead. And, so they asked him about that. And he was like, oh, we'll see. We'll see if I can get some of that stuff for him. You know, we'll see. You know, and it's like, okay. Like, you'd think after winning back-to-back Super Bowls, you know, and all the money that they, all the extra money they've won from it, that they would try to do something. Yeah.
Yeah. it's also a discussion for another time, but the fact that all these professional sports teams also ask taxpayers to spot the bill, it's just one of the wildest fucking things.
Like, yeah,
I don't know where that started. I don't know who started it, but whatever asshole came up with that idea first, and now it's just like the thing. Oh yeah, brand new stadium. We'll make the taxpayers take care of that.
And you're by the balls because it does. I mean, I think the trade off for the teams is like, look how much money we generate for the area, right? And stuff like that. And while that's true, and like, there's no way the Chiefs would let or Kansas City or Missouri would ever let the Chiefs leave Missouri. So they're pretty much by the balls because they're like, okay, well, you're either going to do what we ask or we're going to leave. Because that's kind of the new thing that all the owners do now. We're just going to leave if you don't give us what we want. And so that's what they end up doing. Because like, they basically said the Chiefs were going to pay $300 million, but they want the taxpayers to pay the other $500 million for the renovations for this. And it's like, okay, like, seems fair. But
yeah.
Their facilities are really bad. And that one, I mean, Arrowhead is the third oldest stadium in the league, but also their practice facility is really bad. It's 20-some years old, and it looks like a 20-year-old building that, like, hasn't been renovated since, you know, forever. And, like, you would think that, like I said, they would put the money into it and fix all this, especially with a team that has been this good. I think they said, too, like, what Taylor Swift, like, generated, like, $300 million for the Chiefs or something. So, They're not a poor off. Okay, like I said,
not worth hurting.
$15 billion. He could afford this, but I guess he's cheap as fuck. So I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of the same things coming out about the Steelers as well. I think they're ranked 28th, so not at the bottom like the Chiefs, but a lot of the same things where Art Rooney II. There's been rumors circulating about him and, you know, his unwillingness to pay like big time coordinators to come in for the Steelers, which is why we're left with the Matt Canadas of the world. And, you know, oh my God, Ken, this is really going to bother me that I'm not coming up with his name. Oh my God. The only name I can come up with right now is Dick Lebowski. Obviously, his last name isn't Lebowski. Why can't I come up with the Steelers DC's name? But obviously, you know, they haven't had a big time coordinator since then, and now it's kind of seeming like LeBeau. Jesus, Lebowski, my God, one too many IPAs, and now we're getting into the hour mark, and they're starting to kick in, but. Yeah, the Steelers, you know, name a coordinator from the Mike Tomlin tree. You know what I mean? Like, Mike Tomlin gets talked about, like, as this great coach all the time. Who's come out from the Mike Tomlin tree? But, yeah, I guess that's been something that's been going around. His doesn't want to put the money into that to bring in, like, big-time coordinators. And now that that report is kind of showing that. Right where he got an F for his willingness to want to spend to make the facilities better. So
this is true. This is actually true. Clark Hunt has it's like a house built inside of Arrowhead. So yeah, the motherfucker's got a house and
king of the castle,
and they won't build a new practice facility with a bigger weight room for the players or provide adequate food. For the players. So it's not as bad as the Cardinals, who I think were being charged. I think it was, isn't that what they, yeah, they were being charged for their meals. They wasn't free meals, but they corrected that. So, and I think the Bengals were also, I guess they didn't offer three meals a day. But they changed it this year. Wednesdays is now three meals a day, but that's it. That's all they were able to do. So, you know, I don't know. I guess that's, you know, if you're a rich owner, that's how you become a rich owner, right? Or rich is by doing these shrewd moves and stuff like that, like not really caring. Like, I don't know. So it's crazy to me that you're worth that kind of money and you can't invest it back into the team the way that you should. So, but I guess when you have Patrick Mahomes, you're just like, fuck him. Like, we're just going to keep making this money. Give a fuck. Like, you know, fuck your locker room.
Go win me another Super Bowl with MVS and Mecole Hardman.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because I mean, at the end, he always talks about all this stuff. And like, I don't know. From what they were saying, like, I think they were saying, like he's a, like, because that's been like all the talk around here again after all this. And people are saying that, like, a lot of the players like Clark Hunt, like, they think he's a good guy, but he's just a tight ass and doesn't spend any money.
Yeah. That's I think it's the same thing with Art Rooney. Like, I don't think there's like a Steeler player that like dislikes him, but.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, all right. Well, I mean, I think we pretty much went through all these guys that we really wanted to hit on, but I'm excited to really dig a lot deeper into a lot of these light players. Once we get all the final numbers and everything else, and that's what we'll talk about next week. We'll have much more of a, you know, top five, top 10 kind of look outlook on a lot of these positions and be able to talk more with all this stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a shame that some of these top guys, I think eventually they're going to change this or they need to change the combine or something because there's no incentive whatsoever for a lot of these top guys to continue to do this stuff because all they can do is get hurt. I would actually like to see if they actually try to do something similar to like what the Senior Bowl does, where maybe you just put all these players through like actual like practices for two or three, for 2 or 3 days here. Maybe you have them do a couple of the stuff that you want them to do, but then maybe try to get them in some actual practice. I think you learn a lot more about them during those situations, like you do in the Senior Bowl, than you would at this. Because let's be honest, like the 40-yard dash is always overhyped because when have players ever run 40 yards down the field in a straight line? Very much
in underwear, nonetheless. Yeah. No pads.
We're starting to get a lot more information, like with the GPS tracking and all that stuff. That I think is going to make it to where like that is way more helpful information. When they're actually playing versus what they're doing on at the combine. And let's face it, like these guys train for this. Like they hire coaches to train for the combine. So like I don't know. Like I don't think we. It's fun to talk about because we have nothing else to talk about, but there's also it's not as important as I think. To me, it's either if there's a player that kind of out athletically is more than what we thought, or if a player that like really tanks, like he goes out and runs a 4.740, running back or wide receiver. Okay, that's noteworthy.
Yeah, but even then, it doesn't matter. Kyren Williams being a great example.
Yeah.
Everybody shit on Kyren Williams after that. Came in small, unathletic. No one wanted anything to do with Kyren Williams. Although, whenever you actually watched him play, you saw the athleticism, his ability to move in open space and everything like that. Like, there's, you can go down a line of guys who tested poorly that ended up being fantasy relevant. DeAndre Hopkins, Jarvis Landry, Dalvin Cook. Devin Singletary was awful at the combine. So, like I said, what I use it for is to like just kind of get an idea, go back and see if there's something I missed on some of these guys. But if there's someone I really like, the thing that it comes down to is the draft capital. And unfortunately, even for some of these NFL teams, the combine affects where they put them on their boards, which is going to affect the draft capital. And that's the main thing.
Jonathan Mingo.
Yeah, Jonathan Mango, Chase Claypool, you can go down that list too of all these guys who came and balled out, jumped up draft boards, and ended up fizzling out super quick. So, use it as if someone does pop off, kind of go and look and see if you can kind of see the same things, as when they're actually playing games, as what they just put up at the combine. But like I said, as much as I like talking about it, I'm not going to be like moving guys drastically up and down like my personal rankings because that, they jumped high in their underwear.
Yeah. That's why I just wish they would come up with something. I think it's time to like change the combine in some way. I mean, cause it has become a pretty big event, right? I mean, obviously everybody talks about it. Like everybody travels to it and gets interviews and everything else. All the league, use it as opportunity to kind of talk, get some ideas, maybe some trades, stuff like that. But I think overall, like largely, it's becoming less important because we're starting to see more and more of the elite names just not participate in it anymore. So I think maybe they'd be better off coming up with some different ways to really handling it. And like I said, maybe just doing like team practices or team drills, stuff like that, to where you can start to see these guys like more in the, you know, a natural environment versus, you know, just running in, you know, in their underwear down the field. And hopefully you don't have a Chris Jones moment where you, your dick falls out like happened to him at the combine. So have you heard him tell that story?
I saw it on the New Heights.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah,
Chris Jones is hilarious, but yeah, that was hilarious. That's the reason he fell, was trying to cover it up. So. But yeah, it's a good time. So, anyways, all right. Well, let's get out of here. I think we've rambled on enough here. We'll be back again next week, really to talk about all this and really start to really dig in to the rookies. We also have free agency that's coming up in what, 2 weeks, I think. Yeah, actually less, or yeah, about 2 weeks from now. It's the yeah, actually I think 2 weeks from today. Actually, free agency starts. Actually, the early period where you can start to talk is less than 2 weeks. I think it's the 11th. So actually a week from Monday. So it's all, the NFL is so smart. I mean, they no other league has it like this, where people are continually talking about the sport. Well past, you know, after the season's over. Major League Baseball, pretty much, well, nobody talks about Major League Baseball anyways, but NBA, you have that short period of time, whatever, NBA free agency opens for like a week, and then it's dead. Nobody cares about it again until the NBA finals the next year. So where the NFL, it's just a constant. We're always talking about it. Everybody's, you know, there's free agency. I mean, the fucking scouting combine. I mean, the NBA, Major League Baseball would love if people cared about those things that happen in their sports, and nobody does. So,
yeah.
Anyways, so we'll be back in next week, start talking about some of these guys and more in depth, and really kind of get some more into our, you know, who we like, who we don't, you know, guys that stand out, stuff like that. So, whoever has a good weekend, you know, tune in on Saturday, watch these guys run in underwear, and we'll be back again next week to, you know, start digging more into these rookies, which I've been looking forward to really talking about some of these guys. We can see where some of our rankings lie. So, that being said, everyone have a good weekend. We'll see you on the next one. Bye.